Okay, today's daf is Meister Sheni, daf Yud Zayin, 17 in Maseches Meister Sheni, as we continue in the second parak, all about what Meister Sheni is allowed to be used for. So the Mishnah had said that there is a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, whether one can, you read the pasha pshat of the words, whether one can smear themselves with Meister Sheni oil. But the Mefarshim, the Pnei Moshe, we saw wonder, so really he's arguing on the first Mishnah that you're allowed to use it for smearing, for Sicha? That doesn't seem to be the case, according to his view. So he says, no, the Machlokas is where I am being smeared by somebody else. So is that allowed? Because after all, if you smear me, then a little bit of the oil stays on your hand, and that's kind of like my paying you to anoint me. So is that a problem? Is that significant? So Rabbi Shimon says, that's not allowed. That's not allowed because you're losing a little bit of that oil. And the Chachamim say, no, don't worry about it. That is not significant, and therefore it is mutter. And then the Mishnah said that the Chachamim said to Rabbi Shimon, what do you mean it's not mutter? What do you mean? It's mutter for Truma. Of course, it's mutter for Meister Sheni. And Rabbi Shimon says back, no. Could be that Meister Sheni is more chamor. I'll give you an example where Meister Sheni is more chamor than Truma. So you cannot say a Kal Vachomer from Truma to Meister Sheni. Right? If you have a Kula by Truma, you for sure have a Kula by Meister Sheni because Truma is more chamor. No, maybe not. Maybe Meister Sheni is more chamor. Where is Meister Sheni more chamor? So that was yesterday's daf. The Tilton and the Karshinim, right? These, the Vetch and the Fenugreek. I could say the English words doesn't do anything more for me than the Hebrew words. But either way, the Karshinim and the Tilton, these items that are very low-level food, they're generally animal fodder, but they're eaten by a human, bishas hatchak, at a time of famine. So that has Shumas and Maisas midrabanan. So in the Durabanan world, we saw how much I have to be careful about handling them b'tahara. There, Meister Sheni is more chamor than Truma. So in those details, we saw Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, we had even four shittas. So in those details, which we're not going to get back to again, Meister Sheni was more chamor. So that's how Rabbi Shimon knocked out the Kal Vachomer. So the Gemara just has a comment. Again, you never know whether it's a comment or a question in Yerushalmi, but most assume that it is just a comment. Now we're up to, at the last line, on Tes Lainim Beis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kane Shivu Divrei Sofrim L'Divrei Torah. This, what did the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Shimon? Shum is more chamor. So you can have a Kal Vachomer. Rabbi Shimon says, it's not more chamor. I'll bring you a raya. Meister Sheni could be more chamor from Tiltan and Karshinim. That whole taina of Rabbi Shimon is in the world of Durabanan. And what the Chachamim said to him was Daraisa. So the Gemara just says, that's interesting. So maybe it could be Akasha. Like, he's bringing a raya that there's a chumra d'rabanan by Meister Sheni that Truma doesn't have in order to knock out the Kal Vachomer that Truma is more chumra than Meister Sheni in the world of Daraisa. So you might have said, the Gemara leaves it as a question. How can they do that? On a Daraisa level, Truma is more chumra. And he says, no, I'll bring you a raya that Meister Sheni is more chumra on a d'rabanan level. So what? But the Gemara just makes the comment, according to the Marafulda in the second, yes, 2 days. Lishna Achrina Adareb Shimon Koi Shemevi Raya Mikarshinim Shahamaisa Shalam Durabanan Lishemen Shehuda Araisa. So it's just commenting that that's interesting. The fact that the Rabbanan could come up with a Chumra Durabanan, that could be relevant for Rabbi Shimon to say, oh, you see from there that Meister Sheni could be more Chumra, even though that's a Durabanan halacha, to disprove that Truma is generally more Chumra than Meister Sheni on a Daraisa level. It reflects the fact that this is just a statement, they were just commenting, that's interesting, reflects that Dinim Durabanan are part of the corpus of Torah. It's not so separate. The fact that this conversation takes place proves and reflects to us the concept that we've discussed many times, and that is Kala Torah Kula Inyan Echad. That even the Rabbanans are part of the larger context and framework of Torah. Right? That's the Rambam, two Rambams. The Rambam, first of all, in the Hakdama to Pirush Mishnayos, where the Rambam discusses the Hakdama to Pirush Mishnayos for the Rambam is really a Hakdama for all of Torah Shebal Peh. The Rambam there talks about many different Yesodos, besides going through the Siddurim and the Masechtas, about why every Seder is where it is, and why every Masechta is where it is in every Seder. The Rambam does that also. But there, the Rambam lists off, if you remember, the five parts of Torah Shebal Peh. the five parts of Torah Shebaal Peh. The first two very close to each other, but different. Number one, Achelik Arishon, the Rambam says, Pirushim Mikubalim Mipi Moshe, V'yeshlem Remez Bakasuf. Commentaries that came all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're hinted to in the text, meaning, V'yefshar Lotzia Miderach Svara. It's possible, if I would give you 100 years, could you figure this out from the text? Yeah. It is definitely hinted to. It's not totally arbitrary, not found in the text at all. It is. V'zeh ein bo machlokas klau. There's no machlokas about category one. Aval k'shiyomar echad kakibalti in l'daber alav. Right? There's no machlokas. What are the examples? The Rambam gives two examples. For pirushim abu kubalim b'moshe Rabbeinu, pre-eitz hadar, the fact that pre-eitz hadar is an esrog, and ayin tachas ayin is not literal, it is money. It is money. Those are the two examples given. Nobody ever argued on that, says the Rambam. Those are not called halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Those are pirushim amukubal mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. That is category number one. Category number two, says the Rambam, is halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Right? Which the Rambam says also there's no machlokas about, which gets him into trouble. Right? Many, many examples, not many, many, numerous examples of halacha Moshe B'Sinai. There's the machlokas. Look at the beginning of Baba Kama, Tsroros, among others, the Achronim work very hard to try to figure out what the Rama means here. It helps a little bit, the Nitziv says, that often when the Gemara says Gemara Gemirila, and Rashi and Tosfos say that means Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, the Rama doesn't say that. So that helps with a couple of them. That's not Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. There's a Machlokas. What is a Halacha Moshe B'Sinai? Right? Once it is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, the Rama says there's no Machlokas. But there could be a Machlokas be shown in what's included in the list. But those are the first two categories of Torah Shebaal Peh, says the Rambam. Category three, which is the largest category, and that is all the halachas that are learned out from Drashas Chazal. Kavachomer, Gzeirah Shava, Hekish, all of those. Hadinim Shotzi al Darkei Asfar, V'nafla b'machlokas, and there's plenty of machlokas in this category. V'nifsak adin bahem, af alpi rov. V'zeyikrak shishara az iyan v'chulu. And that's category three. There is a fascinating machlokas in Gittin Daf Samach that the where there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, I think, and Rabbi Lazar, that said, the machlokas, which is bigger, Torah Shebaal Peh or Torah Shebaal Chazal? Which is bigger? Which is bigger? Torah Shebaal Chazal might be bigger. How is that possible? So what Soloveitchik says, the machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan is, where do you put this category three? Do you consider category three pure Torah Shebaal Peh? Or do you say maybe in a sense, it's Torah Shebaal Chazal? Because it's based on the Drashas Chazal. So maybe that's what's behind that machlokas. This category three of the Rambam, maybe you would call a expansion of Torah Shebaal Chazal. V'tibsa, b'chol ha'talmud sheim chokim al tam ha'svara, shugrei machlokas, b'mai kamiflagi, mai b'inayu. Fine, that's category three. Then you have category four and five. This is why we're quoting this here. Four and five, takanos and gzeros. Takanos and gzeros. That's part of Torah Shebaal Peh for the Rambam. So, Dinim Durabanan. Dinim Durabanan are part of the one unit of Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's Ari Yechela Revi, Heim Dinim Shetiknu Hanavim Vachachamim Bechol Dar Vador, Kedei Laso Siyag Vegedra La Torah. He puts Gzeiris first. Vaaleim Siva Kadosh Baruch Hu Lasosam, Ushmartim es mishmarti, ubaba kabbalah asu mishmeres mishmarti. V'lefachamim yikru osam gzeros, v'lefachamim tibala machlokes. Sometimes there can be a machlokes about this, but that is like basar of bechalav is a machlokes, and other examples. And chel chamishi, dinim ha'asuyim al derech ha'chakira v'haskama, bidvar manogim bein b'nei adam, shem b'em tosefes b'mitzvah v'lo giron, v'chulu takanos u'minhagim. So that's where he lists off all of the Shalin Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag, Moshe Tikim Lahem, the Hazan, Takanas Yoshua, Ezra, so many, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, all of them. So that Rambam is reflected by this comment of the Gemara. Right? The Gemara that says that Rabbi Shimon knocked out the Kal V'chomer against him based on a Chumer D'Rabbanan, right? A Divrei Sofrim, right? So that's a big Chiddush. But that's what's reflected, that really Drabanans and Daraisa is not on the same level. We have the concept of somebody Daraisa Lechumra, somebody Drabanan Lekula, but in a certain sense, it reflects synthesis and a coming together of these laws. The other Rambam to mention, or to remember, is the Rambam Shita of Lo Sasser, which he says in a few places, in Hilchos Mamrim and Sefer HaMitzvos, which all the other Rishonim, and at the front of them, the Ramban argued. The Rambam says, Lo Sasser includes Dinim Durabanan, and even Minhagim. Meaning, if I violate an Issa Durabanan, I violate the Issa D'Oraisa of not listening to the rabbis. Lo sasur, do not turn from them. Do not veer from them, yaminu small. And that's the Ramban's kasha of, if every Durabanan is a daraisa, then ever, how do you ever have the principle of so Durabanan lakula? Every time you violate a Durabanan, you violate a daraisa. So how do you ever have that principle? So maybe we'll talk about that later if there's time. But that's the Rambam, again, reflecting that there is a overlap between Durabanans and Daraisas. That's the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. Echad varem shalomdu, osad bi pi ashmua, veib Torah shebal peh. Echad varem shalomdu, osad bi pi daitan, ba'achas ben abidus, shetar ni reshes behen. V'nira beinim shadidu kadavar kachu. V'echad varem shasu osad siyag la Torah. Ulefisha ma'asha ashot sricha, veheb egzeros, v'atakadus v'abed hagos. Kol echad ve'echad, bishloshet varem elu. Daraisas, Durabanan, the BP Ashmua, or BP Dinim Shatar Dreshes Behen, or Takaras Xeris and Minhagos, all of them mitzvahs asay lishmor lahen. Over alachas behen, over below asay. So that's also a Rambam that reflects this, this idea. Okay. Now we get back to our Gemara, the top of Yud Zayin Amin Aleph. Tiltan Shel Maaser Sheni. Told this Maaser Sheni, so remember the Mishnah had said, that the Fenugreek of Maaser Sheni, the Mishnah had added in these lines, there were two lines added in the Mishnah that weren't really part of the flow of the rejection of the Kal V'chomer, but the Gemara, the Mishnah added it in, that this Tiltan, this Fenugreek, you're allowed to eat it, Simchonin, early stages of its development. Even though it's usually left for the later stages and you eat it by the seed, eat the seeds, but you're allowed to eat it earlier. And the Gemara just explains, Keni Mastisa, Mutaris Le'achot Simchonim. It's an allowance. It's a heter. Meaning, I might have thought that you're not allowed to eat it at this stage because it's not called normal eating. It's called raw and underdeveloped. And as we've said, by Shvi'as fruit, you have to wait till it grows. That's called normal eating. But the Gemara says, no, it's allowed. That's the heter. Okay. Then we got to the next machlokes, where the machlokes, Beishamai and Beis Hillel. If somebody has tiltan of truma, right? This tiltan of truma. Again, tiltan is not really truma d'araisa. It's not animal. It's not a human consumption. It's like animal fodder. So, midrabanan, we call it truma. So, you don't have the regular halachas of the mitzvah to be shomer on truma, to make sure truma stays tahar. So, some of the behavior is required, but not all. So, Beishamai said that it has to be done batara, you have to wash your hands. The whole processing of the tiltan has to be done batara, except for if you use parts of it for shampooing. We said chafifasa, because that's not food at all. And Beis Hillel says, no, everything can be done batuma, except for shriyasa, except when you soak it in the water in order to soften it. So there, as the Mara Fulda explained, there it's going to get wet and tummy at the exact same moment. So that's where Beis Hillel says you have to only do that batara, so people realize that this is truma. Again, it's older Rabbanan, so people realize. So the Gemara says, my Mineon, what's the nafgamina exactly between Beishamai and Hillel? Meaning, everybody would agree that if you're using it for shampoo, you're allowed to do it batuma. And everybody agrees that if you're soaking it, then you have to do it batara. So which stage of the processing is there a machlokas about? My Mineon, Amar Abiona, Shola Mineon. What about when you take it out? When you take it out from the soaking, does your hands have to be, you know, you put it to the soaking, everybody agrees, your hands have to be tar. What about taking it out from the soaking? Do your hands have to be tar then? Shola, right? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shabbos and Baba Kama. Shola dagmin hayam, when you pull a fish out of the water. Shola means when you pull out. Shola beneon, that's the machlokas. Beishamai omrim shola beidan taharas. Beishamai says, yeah. So the only thing that's allowed with tama hands is shampooing. Whether if you're or brushing using your hair to combing your hair, but everything else has to be shalom yadayim taharos. Beis Hillel omrim shalom yadayim tameos. Beis Hillel says no, it can be even done with tameh hands, meaning putting it into the soaking has to be with yadayim taharos. That's enough of a reminder for people that this is truma derabanan. if you have to put it into the water with tahor hands. But once it's in the water, you can take it out even with tame hands. So that is option one. Says the Gemara, but Tani, but 1 second. In the Tosefta version of this machlokes, you can't say that. Because the Tosefta version of this machlokes, Beferish does not say that that's the machlokes. So Tani, Zu div Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir has one formulation of the machlokes, which is not quoted here in the Gemara. Aval, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, switch the gears a little bit. Aval Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Beishamay Omerim Kol Maaseh Batara Chutz Bichafifasa. Right, that's like our Rebbe Shammai. Rebbe Shammai says everything is betara except chafivas for the shampooing. Ubeis Hillel omrim kol maaseh betumah chutz mishil yasa. No, Beis Hillel says everything is allowed to be betumah except for what shilya from the word shola, taking it out. And surely putting it in. So according to this version of the machlokes, Beis Hillel agrees that when you take it out from the soaking, your hands have to be tar. So you can say, like we just said, option one, that Rabbi Yona says the machlokes between them is how do you take it out of the water. No. According to this version in the Tosefta, Beis Hillel agrees that soaking it has to be betara, whether putting it into the soaking or taking it out of the soaking. So we're back to the question of, so what's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding, again, dealing with karshinim of truma? Everybody agrees dealing with the tiltan of truma. Karshinim is later in the Mishnah. The tiltan of truma. Everybody agrees if you take part of it and use it for shampooing, that's mutter. You can use that tame hands. Everybody agrees if you're soaking it, putting it into the soaking, for sure has to be with tar hands. You have to wash your hands before you put it in. Taking it out, so we just said on Tosefta. Basil agrees that also has to be only betara. So my b'neon. So what's the nafkamita between them? Amara matanya megina menehon. What about after you soaked it, now you crush it up? You crush it up for usage. That's the machlokes. Beishamay omrim mogeg biadaim tahoros. Beishamay says that also has to be done with tar. Beishamay says you want to keep this. You want people to remember that this is truma derabanan. You have to do everything basically betara, right? Because it's right called to tikkun rabanan kein daraisa tikkun. You have to treat it like that. Ubeisil omrim mogeg yadaim tameos. No, it's okay. Even yadaim tameos, it is okay. You're allowed to crush it with yadaim tameos. Again, the whole issue according to Beisil is you just need a little bit of the processing done with tar hands to remind people that this is truma derabanan. And as long as you have some of the process, that's all that's needed, and you don't have to go do it so far. Okay, so we have two suggestions in the Gemara about the nafkamina. Maybe to talk for a minute about that word shola. So shola, again, the Mara Folda here quotes the Gemara in the Bavli, Baba Kama Tezayin. It's also in the Shabbos Kuv Zayin. Shola dag min hayam. When somebody pulls a fish out of water. So the Gemara there in Shabbos Kuv Zayin Man Aleph quotes the end of this line. Hashola dag min hayam. If I take a fish out of water on Shabbos, kivin sheyavish bo kisela chayev. Once it dries up, kisela. What does kisela mean? Let's say that means the width of a coin. Once a certain amount of the fish dries up, chayiv, I am chayiv, am Rabbi Yossi ubeitz napirav. As long as the drawing is, you know, in the middle, between its fins. So, yovish bo kisela, am chayiv. What am I chayiv for? What's the Gemara talking about? Which malacha? If I take a fish out of the water and it dries up a certain amount, I'm chayiv. So first of all, Rashi says, we're talking about a case where, shahaya nitzod va'omeid mi ba'od yom. It's already trapped. If it wasn't trapped, there's another malacha called seda, trapping. And that's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is saying it's only a problem once it dries up. So that's going to be a different type of malacha. So Rashi says that has to be where it's trapped already. And so there are some that have the girsa of, right, besefel. The Rambam seems to have, yeah, right, it's a fish in a fish bowl, in a fish tank, right? So we're not talking about trapping. So what are you chayef? Which malacha is the Gemara talking about that if you take a fish out of water and it dries up, you are chayiv? So Rashi says, maybe the Pashup Shad, Netilas Hashama, right? Killing, shochet. Malacha of shochet, why do you have to wait till it dries? Su lo chaye, Rashi says. It will no longer live. Meaning, if you take a fish out of water and you put it back a second later, that's not shochet, because it could still live. But if you take it out and then it dries a certain amount, the Gemara assumes that then it's not going to live. It's interesting. Is it dead yet? Is it dead yet? Rashi says, su lo chaye. It will no longer live. Right? No longer live. Maybe it's not dead yet. But if he's already chaye for shchita. right? Because su lo chaye, it's not going to live. That is Rashi. If you're going to Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says malacha of kotzer, the malacha of, how do you translate kotzer? Usually we translate kotzer as harvesting, cutting a flower, cutting a, taking an apple off of a tree. That's the malacha of kotzer. What does that have to do with taking a fish out of water? So obviously, if kotzer is the malacha here, then you have to expand the definition of kotzer. Not oker dover migidulo, which is how we might have thought what kotzer means, right? Detaching something from where it is growing, but rather separating something from its life source. That's a larger, more expanded definition of kotzer, right? Mafsik chiyuso, stopping from where it grows from, right? The not just hafsakas chibur, but yinika, right? If it gets nourished from a certain source, so then stopping that nourishment, right? And a fish gets nourished and lives in the water, and therefore stopping that could be the malacha of kotzer. This, every malacha in Shabbos has to be analyzed. We think of it in a certain way, right? We think of it in a more limited way, but then you have to expand it and know exactly what the larger definition is, right? Just later on in that same daf, Kuf Zayin Amud Beis in Shabbos, Shmuel says, if somebody detaches a fetus of an animal on Shabbos, Hoshit Yado Lemei Behema, the dildal uber shibimeyeha, for whatever reason, somebody detaches a fetus from the inside of an animal on Shabbos, chayif. That is also chayif. Right? Dildel, Rashi, oker shehipilto ade dildal zeh. Why you chayif? Time my time, amar rava bar habduri azbrali lav, amar rav sheshes, haiman de tolish kishusa, behizbi vehigi, bechayib shim oker never begidulo. Right? If somebody detaches some type of moss on Shabbos. What is chayev for? Oker dover migidulo. Sachanami mechayev bishem oker dover migidulo. That's the malacha. Rashi, v'af al pi she'enu mechuba l'karka. Even though it's not mechuba l'karka, that's still going to be this malacha. That's going to be the malacha. So that's sholeh. Sholeh, that word, allows us to talk a little bit about the malacha of kotzer there, but that's what the Arafoldi here quotes here. The word sholeh comes from sholeh dog min hayam. Okay, we continue now. V'nechnasim l'Yerushalayim, second to last line, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah had said, again, that Tiltan and Karshinim are only Truma and Maaser Sheni Midrabanan, and therefore, it can be taken in and out of Yerushalayim. Right? Nechnasim l'Yerushalayim v'yotzin. Even though Maaser Sheni usually, once it goes into Yerushalayim, that's it. It has to be in. But here it could go in, and it could go out. So the Gemara says, that's true, but in a limited way. It's only allowed to go out if you plan to bring it back in. Kedei lasos isa velachzar. Kedei lasos isa velachzar. Why? Explains the Mara Fulda. Sometimes there are bakeries and factories of processing that are cheaper outside of Yerushalayim. So you want to go out and process it and bring it back in. That's what's allowed. That's not allowed for regular Maaser Sheni. But for this Maaser Sheni, says Yotzim Lefamim, third to last line, Yesh Tanurim Chutz La'ir, there are ovens outside the city, Bezol, that are much cheaper. V'yeaf Osan Michutz, you want to bake it outside, V'yachzir on Kamapamim, and you want to bring it back in. That's allowed. That's allowed. That's a Yitzia Litzarech Kenisa. Sometimes in Halacha you have a Yerida Litzarech Aliyah, which is really called an Aliyah. You read the Letzorach Aliyah, so here you have a Yitzia Letzorach Knisa, and therefore it wouldn't be, it's not called the Yitzia, right? If something is going to come back, then you don't even view it as that. Right? In Sukkah you have a concept called Shinui HaChozer Lebir Yaso. You have a Shinui, but it could be undone. So that's not a true Shinui. So it's just like a mushal. If you have a Yitzia that's going back in, that's not called the Yitzia. That's not called the Yitzia. Okay. We continue. Says the Gemara, Masnisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel. So is our Mishnah, the Gemara thinks that maybe our Mishnah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Which Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rav Shimon Gamliel comes up in a week, on Daf Chaf Hei, Be'ez Hashem. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Af Peiros, Nechnas of Yotzin. Right? Rav Shimon Gamliel says, even real Maaser Sheni fruit, you could go in and out. if for certain reasons. So is our Mishnah only like Rosh Hashanah Gamliel? So I said, no. Divrei Hakol he. Right? Our Mishnah is like the Divrei Hakol. Why? As we explained. Hacha kalhu shekilu bekarshinim. It's a special heter of karshinim of Ma'aser Sheni Midir Abanan. Right? But otherwise, it would not be allowed to take it out. Next. Period. So now we have the next comment of the Gemara. Again, often in the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi does not quote the part of the Mishnah that it just goes straight. And you gotta figure out what it's commenting on. So now we're going on the next line of the Mishnah. What happens if you have these Karshinim that became Tameh? Now they're Tameh. So, Machlokes, Rebbe Tarfon, and the Chachamim. Rebbe Tarfon says, you just gotta split it up into tiny little smaller than egg-sized pieces, and then put them into other Meiser Sheni doughs. Right, we explained this already, but now the Gemara is going to say, what's the svar for Rebbe Tarfon? You can't redeem it. Why can't you redeem it? We already said, because Rebbe Tarfon's shita was you never redeem, where you're just going to have to take the redeemed food and give it to dogs, to animals. That's not a good redeeming. Right? So what do? So you have to make it into tiny little pieces, so it can't be matami anything else, put it into other doughs that are going to be eaten. So it's okay. It's okay. And the Chachamim say, no, you're allowed to redeem it. So, says the Gemara, Ubilvad, now we're commenting on Rabbi Tarfon Shita. Ubilvad be Isa Shal Karshinim, Ubilvad Isa Shal Maizah Sheni. You're only allowed to put these tiny little pieces that you split up from the Maizah Sheni that became Tameh, you're only allowed to put it into a dough of Karshinim, which is like this. And so it's not so noticeable and nikar that you have karshinim here that might have become tameh, and only into Maaser Sheni. So Maaser Sheni will be mevatel Maaser Sheni. That's what's allowed. And what's his svara? Why do you have to do this? Rabbi Gurion b'shem Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina div Rabbi Tarfon ain poden. It's not kashim lachilon leklavim, because you never do pidyon. If your only kavana with doing pidyon is that the item that was redeemed is going to have to be fed to the dogs, right? That's not, pidyon is not done then. Not done then, right? It's only if you're going to redeem it and then you're going to be able to eat it. But if it's going to be fed to the dogs, so then it is not acceptable. Okay, let's continue and then we'll make a comment. Rabbi Yona says, L'divrei Chachamim, right? The Chachamim Shita, right? We commented on the Rabbi Tarfon Shita. That ain't podin lachil klavim. What about the chachamim say you're allowed to? Niru advarim haroi loochel adam ain't podin so loochel behema. You're right. The chachamim would agree that you're not podin something to give to the dogs if it was originally roi for human consumption. Something that's roi for human consumption, you're not podin to give to the dogs. But here it's vetch, right? It's karshinim v'sheina roi loochel adam podin so loochel behema. There's not a problem. There's no problem with being podil to give it to a behema if there's no other choice. Period. Rav Yitzchak Bar Al Yashiv has a kasha on Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, it became tamei, so you're allowed to do this? One second. Boy. Nitzmu bigvulin lo yipadu. Forget if it went into Yerushalayim. What if it just became tamei in gvulin? Right? Why does the Mishnah Dafka say Yerushalayim? According to you, you can't be podi lachin l'klavim. So even if it was in Gvulin, lo yipadu, sheipod resakashim lachin l'klavim. It sounds like it's only an issue where it went into Yerushalayim and it became tameh. What do? But according to your svara, that you're not podes something, you don't switch the kedusha to lachin l'klavim. So even in Gvulin, Amar Rabbi Yona, veheinuti no tomei. What does that mean? Right? Very unclear what that means. We'll just go with the Mara Fold of the Pshat. Good question. That's what he says, no tina tume means. Klomar, kushya gedola vachazakahi. Good kasha, I have no answer. Next time somebody asks you a great question, say no tina tume. Right? Lashon rosh lesapanim. Okay, that's the answer, no answer given. This yisod, as we just saw in the Gemara, Rabbi Tarfon says you can't be poda lachin l'klavim. The Chachamim agree with that principle. But they just say it's not relevant here. Right, it's not relevant where it's not roi for human consumption anyway. Right, but they agree with the principle. That principle is quoted in the Rambam. Right, the Rambam in Hilchas Isurei Mizbeach. Isurei Mizbeach, Perak Beis Halacha Yud. The Rambam says, Behema Shenola La Achaz Manat Trefos, Ha'osu No Sabachila. If you have a Behema Trefa, if you have an animal that has one of those Trefos that are listed in Mesechas Chulin, right, so then Asur Lagabe Mizbeach. A Trefa is Asur to bring as a carbon. Asur lagabe mizbeach. Harehu omer. After all, the pasuk says, in Malachi, Hakriveyu nolafechasecha, hayirtzecho, hayisaparecha. Bring this to your gods. You think God wants this karban? It's a trefa. This is not an appropriate, beautiful karban to bring to Hashem. Of course, the principle of Hakriveyu nolafechasecha. And even though, says the Rambam, it's not roy to be a karban, this trefa ain't podenosa. But if it's a karban and then it became a trefa, you can't be podet. Shane poden, it's a kashin lachil and klavim. Because what are you going to do? You're going to be podet and purses allowed to eat a trefa. So what are you going to do? You're going to give the money to the Beis HaMikdash and take the trefa out and then what? Give it to your dog? You can't do that. Ella? You have to just let it be, let it graze around until it dies and then bury it. Right? And so the Rambam quotes that principle. Ain't podin lachil and leklavim. Why? And but in the first place, you can't bring a treifa because hakriveinu lefechasecha. So that principle of hakriveinu comes up elsewhere, but maybe we'll start with that next time in terms of where does that come up, and then we will start by the next Mishnah, the third Mishnah here in the second parak of Maaser Sheni.